This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Florida's first coast of golf, Visit Florida, and ESPN 97.5 are thrilled to announce that Jeremy Young from Conroe is the Journey to Jacksonville Grand Prize winner. Jeremy, you and a guest will travel to Jacksonville, Florida, attend the game on December 17th at Everbank Field, play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, chill and crash at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel. Plus, you're going to get to cruise the coast in your rental car. Congratulations, Jeremy. We've been talking about this promotion for months now, and Jeremy Young from Conroe is the winner of the Journey to Jacksonville Grand Prize. Now back to John and Lance.
Nice, Jeremy. Way to go. How about that? He's going to Jacksonville for a game.
First place team.
To see Tom Savage.
Well, maybe TJ Yates will be playing at that point.
Maybe. It's not a bad idea, to tell you the truth. You know, it is not that the Tom Savage was ever an experiment, but why doesn't he go to TJ Yates? I mean, honestly, what's the difference now?
He's still in the process. The same reason the Bills, if they wanted to, could have gone back to Nathan Peterman, because you just want to see more of. I mean, Peterman's even a rookie, though. Tom Savage, you've got three. This is 3 years or four? It's 3 years, right?
However, how many starts is he? How many games has he played in?
Savage?
Yeah.
It's because he's always hurt also.
Well, right.
If you're always hurt and you don't play and you always fumble.
Now, you could be in the league for 4 years, though. I know he's a four-year veteran. But if you never play, if this is your fifth start.
Would you keep him as a backup?
I don't think so. Not anymore.
I mean, for what?
Because he's proving that he can't win games. I mean, he's proving that. He's hurting you more than he's helping you.
You can get better than Tom Savage.
You could have had. Why did they get rid of Brandon Weeden? Is my question.
I thought Brandon Weeden was a serviceable backup.
Yeah, he's a good backup.
Yeah,
he won off. He came in here and won a football game. He was here for a week and he beat Indianapolis, which you'd never done before. I mean, so Brandon Weeden was your best option if you wanted to. And you knew that. Okay, so you're starting Tom Savage. I know you really love Deshaun. But why in the world would you not have another guy ready? And he cost you practically nothing. I just don't get it. That was that's one of the dumbest moves they made this year, was getting rid of Brandon.
See, here's the tricky thing. So the Texans are going to have some compensatory picks coming this year. AJ Bouye is going to get you a third round compensatory pick. So you don't have a first, you don't have a second. You'll get an additional third, and I think you'll have two compensatory picks. I did the math on it this summer, and I can't remember. But usually I would say this is the year you go draft a quarterback in the fourth or fifth round, and you see if you can develop them and make them turn them into a backup. But you almost don't have enough.
No.
Now you don't have enough picks. Like, you got to go get real dudes. You got to go get a safety. Look, I like Andre Howell as a playmaker.
Well, you need four offensive linemen.
Where are you going to get those?
You need them.
Okay, you can get guards. You can get guards in the third round and beyond. Not tackles.
No.
They got Julian Davenport, I talked to John Harris, who he thinks Davenport's going to be okay, so maybe he'll be okay, but he's still a while away. What about the other side?
No, you got to have.
Did Derek Newton pass?
He's dead. No, you got to have. Honestly, this has got to be your offensive line draft. Or how about, Rick, instead of when everybody else is gone, you take Brino Giacomini. Come on, dude. Put something into. You knew Dwayne Brown was an issue this offseason. You put nothing into that line. Nothing.
Well, here's the thing. Last year I thought. So when I was looking at the tackle draft, I knew what it looked like getting into the draft. When the Texans got into the draft and they traded up for Deshaun Watson, I said, okay. So now you had second and third. If you don't get a tackle by the second round, a lot of time, you're in trouble. Because by the time you get to a third, it really starts to get shaky. And once you get past the third, you're not finding a starting tackle.
Well, they found Derek Newton. Maybe they think, well, we did it with Derek Newton, so we can do it.
It took a little time, but And he was drafted as a Gary Kubiak, zone scheme guy at first. And Newton wasn't bad. Newton was pretty decent. I mean, he was decent.
He was okay.
He was okay. I don't want to oversell, but it just feels like he was great right now.
Well,
comparatively.
Kendall Lamb?
Yeah, so, and who was an undrafted free agent? I mean, and why? Because he can't really anchor, as you can see. So, last year, when they got to the second round and they drafted Zach Cunningham, I'm like, okay, good. They need a cornerback. They need a linebacker who can cover. That's something they really need. The third pick, I like Deontay Foreman as a player. I had a higher grade on him than where they drafted him, and I think he's a good football player. But you can go get a running back in a fourth, fifth round. I thought, man, you might have to try to draft a tackle here in the third round, because if you don't, what are you going to do? Who are your tackles going to be? Like, who is your offensive line moving forward? And they're in that position now. And you have no first, no second. So now you're going to be looking at a pick in the third round unless you move up.
Yeah.
And I would consider trading two-thirds just to move up.
Yeah.
Your compensatory and your pick just to move up and get a tackle, because it's that dire.
Yeah.
It's that dire. Oh, and your guards stink.
What about picking some and overpaying? Oh, well, but you got it. What about a free agent? Because they're going to have free agent money. They're
going to
have free agent money.
That's not good. If you're a good tackle, you think teams let you get to
it. Better than what, Lance? How, and it's better than a third or fourth rounder?
I'm just telling you, it's not going to get better.
No.
Sleep
time. Well, here's the thing, though. Four made that offensive line look serviceable. And that's the most amazing, maybe the most amazing thing that Four did when he was alive. Was he made that offensive line serviceable?
He's not dead.
He's dead to us now.
Well, for
he
for the
he ruined it for us because now
he ruined it
because now three is in there.
Well, if three doesn't have to be. You can go to two. He's waiting there to play. You can go from four to three to two.
Yeah, you think you're getting better?
No, actually,
you think you're getting better,
like,
but
much
you
like
go
the numbers
four to
are going
to
in descending order, the talent's going in descending order too.
It really is. It really kind of is. That's a shame. That is just a shame. No, four is dead to me because. He left us with this. He left us with a game that nobody cared about. Nate Griffin is here, and he wants to talk about... We're going to go on Channel 26. Can you put on Channel 26 so we can see Melissa? And
we're going live?
Yeah, right.
I love it, yes.
Oh, is it live?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man, it's about to get real in here.
All the way live, buddy.
So you want to talk... Honestly, this is something that you want to talk about on Channel 26? I thought you wanted ratings. You want to talk about the Texans?
You know we do.
I thought you wanted people to watch your television station.
We get lots of viewers.
Not if you talk about the Texans, you won't.
You don't think that'll stop.
You don't think Ravens? Let me tell you something else. So people are just waking up and didn't even know what happened.
No. Okay. Well, yeah, because no one watched.
I mean,
hey, you know, what the Texans?
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You ready? Hey, guys, we're at ESPN 97.5 right now. John and Lance joining their show called The Bench. It's a brand new show. These guys just reuniting. Good to see them together once again. Look, let's talk about the Texans, what happened last night, John.
What happened?
Three turnovers.
What happened was they got Tom Savage again. Now, and it's not all on Tom.
We were just talking about it.
It's not all on him. That often, we were just talking about the offensive line and how incredibly horrible it is. This, and I got to tell you, it's just unbelievable that on Channel 26, you're talking about the Houston Texans because no one cares. Because did you watch that game last night?
We did watch the game.
No one watched that game last night, Nate.
We did watch the game. We watched the game. You didn't watch the game?
No. Why would you watch that
Lance,
game?
Lance, did you watch
the
game?
Listen to him. He watched the game.
Of course he watched the game.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Let's take a look at the highlights, folks. First and foremost, they came out. They looked pretty good on the first drive. In fact, they scored the first drive.
No.
But you know what? Here's what's weird. That same offensive line, Deshaun Watson was hanging 30 a game behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
They're decent run blocking unit. They're a below average to poor pass protection unit. But when you have a mobile quarterback like Deshaun Watson, make things happen. Yeah. You have a statue, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
And there's a difference, John, of we're talking about 15 to 18 points per game difference with the quarterback.
Yep.
That big a difference.
Well, I said, just saying that number four, Deshaun, the best thing that he did was make that offensive line serviceable.
Yeah.
That was the most amazing thing he did of all the amazing things that Deshaun Watson did, because we see with Tom Savage what this offensive line is all about. And it's all about a horrific season. That's what it's all about.
Yep. No question. All right, guys. Well, bottom line is Tom Savage, not a good night. Two picks. And
fumble.
Yeah. And he threw for more yards than Joe Flacco.
That wasn't his fumble.
Well, no. That was
I think
Kendall
we'll
Lamb.
Be arguing about this for most of the morning, folks. But at the bottom line is Texans lost last night. Got to find a way to pull it together. John Lance, thanks, guys, for joining us this
Appreciate
morning
it.
On Fox 26. Live from ESPN 97.5, I'm Nate Griffin, Fox 26 Sports.
Bye, guys. Good to talk to you. All right, and now scene. And scene.
That is it.
That's it.
That is it.
Did you say hello to him for us?
We did. Always.
Yeah.
Always say hello to them.
We always do. We do a golf. A golf. We have to. When Nate is looking at the camera and they're talking to him, we have to do this.
Just be quiet.
He did the golf shot. He did the golf voice.
The golf voice.
Melissa loved it.
She loved
Lester,
it.
Oh, she loved it. Yeah,
she loves
it.
The golf voice.
Yeah.
They're very nice. Everyone at Channel 26, very nice people.
Approaching the putting green here at the here's Tom Savage approaching the line of scrimmage, and it's his third and nine. Quiet, don't give please. Him. What do you think here? Do you, John? Do you give him much of a shot here? It's third and nine. This is a difficult entry.
No, this is going to be deadly. For he could die on this play because Kendall Lamb is behind him, and now he's dead.
They've got their ears pinned. This is
the worst, dude.
This is a precarious.
I mean,
situation.
Honestly, you were going back and forth to the Rockets?
Yeah.
Honestly, what was your level of interest for that game last night?
No, I pick and choose. Like, my interest really was less about winning and more about I was really watching Clowney, because Clowney was just, he was on fire yesterday, and it was just interesting to me that he kept playing. I thought it was interesting watching how physical the two teams. I was doing things like watching C.J. Mosley. I wanted to see what Mosley looked like at inside linebacker, because I don't really watch as much NFL as I used to, because I'm so locked into what I have to watch for college. So I pick and choose things to watch. It made it more interesting. You can't just say, oh, let me just watch this game between the Ravens and Texans.
With interest.
Like, oh,
no.
You got to pick stuff.
You do. Nate, thanks. We appreciate it.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
Yes,
well,
sir.
Yeah, we've got, yeah. Well, Raheel will be in as well. Well, he can't be on. Right. Raheel can't be on Channel 26. Don't tell anyone. Mark Mangino will be up
thanks,
next
guys.
Right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Inside your chakras, fornication is a sin. We can f*** our neighbor, God is our father. All in heaven as I pray for new
.818 here back on the bench. Lance Erline, John Granato here on 97.5. Our phone number 713-780-3776. You won't need it for just a little while, though, because joining us right now is a coach who has got some coaching left in him. And the only guy that I ever saw made Kansas a legitimate dangerous threat, and that would be Mark Mangino. Coach, welcome into the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We appreciate you being here. Yeah, we were just talking. There's kids out there that are like, Kansas won? Get out of here. When did Kansas win? When Mark Mangino was their coach. That's when. When Todd Reesing, back in the day when you and Missouri were going at it, hot and heavy for championships. How about them apples?
Yeah, those were the days. You know, since I left Kansas, you know, I'd always taken pride in saying that I left it in better shape than I found it. And I still believe that, but just some things just haven't worked their way, and some bad breaks and some bad decisions and stuff. But, you know, it was a lot of fun coaching at Kansas. We had some really good kids there, fun to be around, love to compete, and and not so much myself, but the kids prove that you can win at Kansas. You get the right kids, get them going in the right direction, and you can win there. There's no question.
Yeah. I mean, there's the blue bloods, obviously, but you as a coach were, you know, I'm convinced. If Nick Saban goes to Louisiana Monroe tomorrow, Louisiana Monroe is going to win because Nick Saban is there. You won at Kansas, and they haven't been able to find that guy ever since then. And you want to get back in, huh? You want back in the game.
Well, I feel like this. You know, I've enjoyed being out for a little bit. It's been great for family and friends and being able to do some traveling. But I say this. If I could find the right place with the right people that care about people and care about players and things of that sort, that I would get back in. But it's not something I have to do. It's something that I want to do. I feel like I still have a lot to offer. And my wife's tired of me being home. Let's get that straight.
At the end of the day, that's a factor.
That is.
Oh, it's a factor. Yeah. There's no question.
Well, it's bound to happen. No, it's inevitable.
How about this? My dad has been on the road. He's lived in Arizona coaching the Cardinals for four? Is this year five? Year four? I don't know. He lives in a hotel. And he comes home. My parents have, you know, he had retired for 3 years and then came back out, and they have a home in New Braunfels. And he goes back, but then he comes back and has fun. But he likes to travel on the weekends when he's not in season, goes to Utah, he goes to these places, loves it, it's beautiful. And I told my mom, I said, you know, Mom, he is going to come home. This is going to, I visited her. I said, he's going to be back full time. This is, and I tell Dad, like, you know that it's in forever now. You're going to stop coaching at some point. You're in your 70s now. So, Mom, are you ready for him? Yeah, I've got my own routine. I can get away from him if I want to. I'm like, well, yeah, you think you can.
Yeah.
It's the same thing my wife said.
Yeah, they think
she said for 34 years we did pretty good without you here at the house. So,
you're here in Houston. I don't know if you heard David Bailiff yesterday. He was really let go at Rice. What about a Rice stint? What are you going to look into it?
Well, I may. You know, Rice is a place I think you can win there.
David Bailiff did.
David Bailiff did, and some others, and I think, you know, David's a heck of a coach and. Did a really good job there. You can win there. Here you are. You're sitting in the fourth largest city in the country. You've got some of the highest academic standards of any institution in the country. Here we are where the economy is good. Kids can get jobs after they graduate from a place like Rice right away. I think it's a great job. I really do. Some people don't see it that way. You know, it's a smaller university and everything. I don't, you know, kind of being both a coach and a college football enthusiast, I don't see it that way. I think you can recruit high academic kids and be successful. There's some minuses, but there's also some pluses. I've had friends for years that coached at places that have high academic standards, and they say, you have less social problems. Mm-hmm. Those kids are here to get an education. Number two, you recruit the kind of kid that's focused on being successful and earning a degree. And you'd be surprised. I've always said if a young man is competitive in the classroom and wants to be a great student in the classroom, he has the pride to want to be great in everything that he does. And some of my best hard-nosed players over the years were top academic kids.
Mark Mangino's with us here on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about what's going on right now in college football. Alabama, the case for Alabama right now. Nick Saban, maybe talking out of both sides of his mouth. Before, last year, he said, listen, Ohio State didn't win their conference. You got to win your conference if you're going to be in the playoff. Now he's saying, oh, wait a minute, we're the best team. They really haven't beaten anybody. Truth be told, LSU, Mississippi State, the three wins against Power Five teams with winning records. That's it. Then they play, and actually, Colorado State game a good game. It was amazing how, as great as they are, they really weren't. They weren't all that great. And I'm convinced. I think the playoff committee wouldn't mind keeping Alabama out of the playoff this year, just to show, hey, this isn't just Alabama's show. This is everybody in college football's show.
Well, definitely one of the things you don't want to do in this college football set up now with the playoffs, you don't want to lose late.
No.
You lose early, everybody forgets about it. Syracuse beats Clemson. You know, nobody cares about it. I mean, they forgot about it. Now, the last couple weeks of the season, you lose the Iron Bowl or whatever the case may be. You know,
Miami loses the Pitt.
Miami loses the Pitt. You know,
if they'd have done that in the second week, they'd be in the top four.
Absolutely. Yeah. Miami would still be in it. You know, and I think that you know, Nick himself, and I don't know Nick well, but Nick himself last year said if you don't win your conference, you shouldn't be in the playoffs. So he already made his argument.
That's right. Maybe talking out about both, but I mean, you're gonna campaign for your team. I don't.
Oh yeah, you got to.
If okay, let's say, do you think what are the odds that Alabama's out?
My personal opinion. I wouldn't bet money to say they leave them out of the playoffs.
You think they're gonna put them in somehow?
I think
something's gonna happen.
There's gonna be a break on something.
Something's gotta happen.
I tell you what, now
because if Wisconsin wins, if Auburn wins, well, either Auburn or Georgia, I think that winner is gonna be in.
But if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, which I think is very possible, Wisconsin got a good team. I don't think it's a great team. They're another team that hadn't had to play anybody. Is there any chance Ohio? I don't think Ohio State jumps.
I don't think they jump Bama with a win over Wisconsin either.
No, not from where they are.
No, that's why Wisconsin's got to win.
But I think I think there's a decent chance of that happening. And I would not rule out Gary Patterson in a game like this, getting his guys ready. Oklahoma's been pretty solid all year long with the one slip up to Iowa State, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Baker's playing, you know, smart, good football. But with all that said, I mean, Gary Patterson is a fantastic coach.
Gary Patterson, I think, has been, from the national media perspective, the national base, one of the most overlooked coaches in college football. I mean, look what he's done. He competed at a high level with the Mountain West. He takes the Mountain West team at TCU, transitions them smoothly right into the Big 12, no hiccup or anything. And all he does is win. I think to some degree he's one of the most overlooked coaches when it comes to just managing his football program and being consistently good.
What do you think about what happened with Tennessee and Schiano and how difficult it is going to be for them to find a big guy, a big name after all that?
You know, once again, just a personal opinion. I think Tennessee's got some real problems now. First of all, I know Greg, and Greg is a first-class, straight and narrow guy, hard worker, and there has never been anything to – nothing. There's no evidence at all that puts him having anything to do with Sandusky or anything. That's just awful. But I think as a university vetting a candidate – you should at least sat down and thought about what if somebody does try to connect those dots and make it a big deal. Maybe not so much because they think he did something wrong. The Tennessee fan base thinks maybe they can get a better coach. And I think that those things should have been taken into consideration.
I don't even know if you could, Coach. I don't know that this is going to now be the – this is the start. Now people will start to think, okay – the internet mob could potentially – how could the internet mob try to fight this hiring? You know, what could they try to do? John and I talked about that. I couldn't see that coming. Did you even have a remote clue that they could try to link those together? And the guy who started it is a Tennessee Vols fan, Clay Travis, who's a media guy who's got a ton of followers, and it could start quickly like that. But it's here's what a prospective coach told me one time who, when the job was open before Butch got it, this question was out there to him, and here's how he answered it. It's interesting, but it's too difficult because there's not a ton of talent inside the state, and the talent that you do have inside, you know, relative to what you have to face, and the talent you do have is being picked at by the rest of the conference, and so you have to sometimes be willing to take shortcuts on character guys from junior conferences or character guys who can't get to other schools because they've got too much baggage. He said, and now you got a locker room that can be a little bit explosive, and that's one of the big concerns at that university is you have to build it a little different way sometimes because you don't have the base of guys you can pull from. Yeah.
I mean, in Florida, I mean, Dana talks about it all the time, West Virginia. He gets one kid every 2 or 3 years out of West Virginia. Otherwise, he's going out elsewhere. And sometimes you're going to get guys that are... If you want talent.
Hey, I know. I understand where you guys are coming with Tennessee and Dana Horgelson. I mean, you're going to have to take chances on some kids when you're in those conferences. And, you know, one of the places I coached at Kansas, I mean, you know, we have... we have more cattle than we have people. So, and there might be, at one time when I was coaching, and I coached both at Kansas State and Kansas, there might be 3 players in the whole state. Yeah. You got to go somewhere else to get some players, and you got to take a chance on a few guys, and hopefully you can get them on the right path and, you know, that type of thing. I've been told that Tennessee is not a place that has an abundant amount of high school talent. So as we say, they're recruiting on somebody else's turf all the time, and that makes enemies.
Yeah, it does. All right, we got to take a break, though. We'll get another segment with Coach. Coach Mark Mangino is with us in studio here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is a song for my haters. blow up.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Lansdell, Coach Mark Mangino is with us in studio, hanging out here in Houston. What do you know about Houston?
I've been down here for the last 20 years off and on recruiting kids at everywhere that I had coached in the Big 12. And, you know, I've gotten players out of here. At Oklahoma, we had a bunch. We had a few when I was at Kansas. You know, some really good kids. So I know a lot of the high school coaches down here, and I know that it's a great place. I enjoy Houston. I've told some friends here sometimes I get a little overwhelmed after all these years driving here. But it's a great place. The weather's agreeable. The people are nice, and there's a lot of things to do. Had fun at the Rockets game last night.
You went?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Wimble Wallace? Oh, you sat in the good seats.
Yeah, Wallace. Oh, yeah. We could hear the squeak of the sneakers where we were sitting.
One thing that I always thought, let me see what you think, Coach, is that when you watch it in person, you realize how much faster it is than when you watch on TV. The speed of the game in person, you realize, wow, this is really moving much faster than TV makes it look.
There's no question. You know, TV has a way of kind of making everything look sort of, you know, everything looks like toys or kids running around. But when you're sitting down there on an NBA floor, it is amazing that these guys are so big, yet they are so fast and explosive. On TV, they all look about the same height and everything. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But when you're there watching, you say, look at these big son of a guns running up and down the floor and jumping.
Flying all over.
It's scary.
But how about the Kansas City Chiefs now have their top three tight ends now are former basketball players who either didn't play football at all or barely took a snap in football, but they were basketball guys in college. That's the new trend now is teams are looking for, you know, 6'6", 6'7" basketball players. Antonio Gates obviously was, and Tony Gonzalez are two famous versions, but that's kind of a big deal now for teams to say, hey, just give us a raw athlete and let us work with it.
You know, we talked earlier, some of the places that I coached, you know, some of them we were able to get frontline recruits. Other places we had to develop them. And we made a living over the years of taking a 6'4", 225-pound tight end in high school and making him an offensive lineman, a guard or a tackle. We have taken kids in high school that were big kids, played linebacker. People say, well, you know, he doesn't run good enough for linebacker. Yeah, but he'll sure make a good five technique.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we've kind of done it. You know, at one time we recruited all corners, and the two best corners we had, they played there, and the other corners played safety. You got corner speed at your safety positions. So what Lance is talking about is that, you know, the NFL, just like college, we want guys that play multiple sports. I don't want a guy that plays football and then, you know, plays on his Xbox the rest of the year. I like to see a guy play basketball, run track. You know, it tells you a lot about him and the kind of work ethic he has and that he's a guy that competes year-round, not just 3 or 4 months a year. So I see a lot of that coming, and there will be more of it in the NFL. The NFL is always a little bit reluctant to make those kind of changes. But I think these big athletes are playing multiple sports now. They're forced to look at them at different positions.
Mark Mangino with us here in studio on ESPN 97.5, former Kansas coach out there, possibly coaching again soon. We'll see. There's plenty of jobs out there. What did you think of what happened with Texas A&M and Summy? And you go 51-26. You're 25 games over 500, and you can't keep a job here?
Yeah, it gives me pause a little bit. The thing that gives me pause is that last summer he didn't even get the obligatory vote of confidence.
No, and he got a win. That's what he said.
Yeah. You know, I don't believe in putting your coaches in that kind of position. Whether you hired the coach or you inherited him, it's your job professionally to support him, continue to give him the resources that he needs, the public encouragement that he needs. And then the scoreboard tells, and the career record tells the tell, and if you want to make a change, okay. But I was very uncomfortable with how Kevin was handled from summer to now. And I think Kevin's a good man, and I'm not saying anything negative about A&M. I've got great respect for them, tremendous institution, and a lot of good people and friends there. But I just got, as a coach, I was a little uncomfortable there with he didn't get that vote of confidence that most guys that get fired do get.
Yep, yep. I had Bill Hancock on last week, in charge of the college football playoffs. I don't like this. What's going on? I don't like the 4-team. I don't know about you. I think, and I put this to him, 5 conference champions. Because it makes every conference now, every game important in your conference. And if you're a conference champion, you should go. 2 at large and 1 non-power 5. The best non-power 5. That's 8 teams. He was uncomfortable with automatic qualifiers because it didn't work last time. Well, if you win your conference, you deserve something. And then let the player. What I don't like is we're going to vote. Let's all vote on this. This isn't ice skating. I don't want to vote. Let the players decide it on the field. If you're a conference champion, you're in. Now we'll vote on the other 2 teams in the Power 5, the non-Power 5.
But isn't that, John, a little bit of participation trophy-ish if you think about it? Just because you win your conference, you're in. Shouldn't you say this level of play is what a championship looks like?
Being a champion is a level of play.
Yeah, but you know, just like I do, there are teams who win conferences that aren't, they would get smashed by one of the, let's say, top 4 teams. And you and I know, any of us, just common sense if you watch, and it is, I mean, college football is, they're hurt a little bit by the fact that there's only 12 games. I mean, it's a smaller sample size. So,
you will have the 2 at large that will still get in. And so if you're one of those top teams and you didn't win your conference, you got 5 Power 5 conferences, mm-hmm. 2 at large, and 1 non-Power 5. You know what? You know what I don't know? I don't know how good Central Florida is. You know what? I saw Central Florida go and beat a Baylor team in the Fiesta Bowl. I saw Boise go, and why in the world do we think Central Florida's undefeated? You know what? Give them a shot. Why not give them a shot at somebody?
Yeah, I don't think just because you're in a Power 5, you deserve to automatically get in either. Just because you've already got advantages being in a Power 5. You've got financial advantages.
Well, absolutely, but you know that they're going to favor the Power 5, right?
There's no question that I think, and a lot of people do, the playoffs were made for the Power 5. That was what was in mind. And now that you have some of these teams, you know, like, you know, Central Florida, and people are doing really well, you'd like to see them get some kind of opportunity. I don't know how many teams it would take to get a quality playoff. I don't want to get into 64 like Mike Leach said, like basketball. No, I don't agree with Mike on that, but I will say that I think there needs to be more teams, and I think those teams that are non-Power 5, they're having these great years, they should have a right to participate and take. If they're not good enough, well, then they get beat. But I think by being, you know, that type of excellence throughout the season deserves some kind of a reward.
I think there's a chance we could see. Well, here's the problem. The CTE thing. See, this doesn't come into it, but you're asking kids to play additional games. There is no compensation for college players right now. So anything, when you start asking them to play more, this is an argument that never really came up that you're going to start seeing come up a little bit more.
Okay. They're doing it at the college, it's not 1AA anymore, the championship level. They're doing it in Division II. They're doing it in Division III. They're doing it now in high school. They're doing it in the pros. They're doing it everywhere except Division I football.
Let me go devil's advocate. Right. So then you're going to get a kid. You're going to get a kid with all this. Now, I'm devil's advocate here a little bit. So in this day and age where we've learned more and more about CTE and brain injuries, you're now asking kids to not only play more in high school, you're not only asking them to play more in college. And we know they already have a longer schedule in the pros. Aren't you asking them? And then the next argument they're going to throw in there is, oh, so you're making more money, but they're not going to even get a piece of this at all. Because that's going to become a much bigger deal.
Then give them a piece. I mean, I'm not saying don't give them a piece. That's a whole other thing. But at least they're getting stipends now. I'm asking them to play one more game, Lance. It's not like I'm asking them to play every Thursday now. I'm asking them. I'm asked. It's one more game. It's one more round. That's all it is. For four teams. That's it. Four teams play one extra game.
Right now. But if you expand it, you're asking them to play additional games. Teams. And they're never getting rid of conference championships. You can forget that.
No.
Too much money.
Right. Yeah. No.
You know, well, what's wrong with going back and playing 11 games?
Well, there's less money then. There's less money for the university.
Everything's always about, well, you know, baseball would be better if they could cut it to 140 games. Why would they not do that? Go ahead and find an owner who wants to give up those home games. Well, same thing with football.
Right. Bottom dollars. Well, in bottom Tampa, line is money.
In Tampa, they're losing money every game. He probably would vote for that. 8:45. Coach Mangino, thanks for hanging
with us.
Thanks,
Coach.
We really appreciate seeing you. Great stuff. Wallace Marsh, thanks for bringing him in. We appreciate that. Best of luck. Hopefully you get you find something out there that you will really enjoy, and somebody gives you that shot again. Hell of a football coach right here. Hell of a football coach. Thanks for hanging.
Thanks, John. I enjoyed it. Lance, great time.
All right. There's Mark Mangino right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I love having old coaches in, man. They are so much fun to get the backstories. Unbelievable.
Dude, when you guys are talking about the recruiting angle, a lot of people don't know about that. Like, I didn't know about Dana's situation.
Yeah.
But he's talked about it a few times, but not to that level. And then hearing Coach talk about it where there's nothing left. Like, you have to take a risk. And sometimes that can create some weird locker rooms where you've got guys with very different backgrounds.
You can't take too many risks. Because if you do, then you're going to have a bad locker room.
Yeah.
You're going to have problems.
But what do you do?
You hope you get quality kids. But when you have to go to another state all the time, you're not getting, because Miami, Florida, they're getting the pick. And then you're trying to get some, because if those guys are offering, that's where they're going.
And also, you don't have the ability to do the deep dive on who these kids are.
Right.
Because you fly in maybe once or twice. Head coach visit, an assistant coach visit. You don't get to go to the high school game every week. You don't get to talk to everybody you need to talk to. So you are taking a chance.
You absolutely are. And there's a reason that Florida and Miami
didn't take them.
They
have more information.
Now they may miss on some guys. Yeah, and they miss on guys all the time.
And that's what you hope that you get a quality kid who's very talented that the other guys just
the other fascinating thing about recruiting is like the relationships you need to have with the high school coaches.
Yeah.
Like, that's so overlooked sometimes where like a coach, you know, or Coach Mangino, what kind of relationships does he have in California? It's hard to have those built up.
Absolutely.
Like the local schools, obviously. So that's another angle. It's just recruiting to me is one of the most fascinating things in sports.
Yep. All right. Let's get Larry. Larry has been sitting there. Is this Larry? That's not Larry in Stafford.
Oh, I bet it is.
Is this Larry in Stafford?
You know damn well it's Larry
and Stafford, man. What's up, Larry?
When it says on the board, Tom Savage Trash. So I was thinking there's only one Larry that would say Tom Savage Trash, and that's Larry and Stafford.
Well, is there just one?
Well, maybe there's more than that.
Hey, look, fellas, you know, I was going to sit back and just let you boys ease into this thing, man, and I was just going to enjoy the fact that we have somebody back on the air that wasn't as emotional of a bitch like Josh Ennis is, man. So it was just great to hear grown man radio. So, I couldn't sit back any longer, and I know it's only been a day, but I couldn't sit back, fellas, because after what I saw last night, I'm going to get to Savage. First of all, y'all having the big fella Mark Mangino on, that was a good get, man, because Mangino did something special at Kansas, and when him and Bob Stoops introduced Josh Heupel to the world at OU, that was a machine up there in Oklahoma with the offense that Mangino was running. So I'm sure he does want to get back into coaching, because if he's anything like me, which I'm pretty sure he is, he want to get away from the old lady too sometime and just do his thing. So fellas, the Rockets. We almost made a big blunder going after Anthony. But to see CP3 ball the way that he balling and James still balling the way that he balling, that is a joy for someone that plays the game. Because those dudes are out there playing basketball at a high level, fellas, and it's impressive to watch, and it's fun to see. And I'll again apologize for my take on D'Antoni because I wasn't a big fan. But to see him put that offense and to see him go out and get P.J. Tucker and all my boo-boo and all these other dudes that can play defense and play basketball for an old-school baller, that is the greatest thing. And I love seeing CP3 do his work like he did last night, which I was flipping back and forth.
1-7, 14. He's 1-7 from the field, 4 points, 14 assists, 0 turnovers. And you know what? He ran the team. Like, he just ran the team. No big deal.
But he did.
That's what leadership looks like. And CP, the points are irrelevant because James is an assassin. But for CP3 to be able to go out there and run the ball and run that team like he's supposed to, and then he keeps James' ass in check a lot of the time with his leadership, that's impressive. Which brings me to them sorry-ass Texans. Hey, man, forget everything that we've talked about. And LZ, y'all got to quit making excuses saying that it's not all on Tom Savage. Tom Savage is a piece of trash. And that POS sat up there last night and did exactly what he couldn't do, which was go out there and turn the ball over. And for Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith to continuously try to tell us that there was no other options, that's a lie. Bill O'Brien, I gave Bill O'Brien the benefit of the doubt when he was running through 10 quarterbacks his first 2 years because he was a rookie. And he was trying to learn his way as a head coach. But this fool kept Tom Savage over Brandon Weeden, Case Keenum, and all these other folks to try to justify a fourth-round pick who in 4 years, this bastard has more turnovers than anybody else in the league at quarterback. And to watch him last night, when even I got into a fight with one of my buddies because he was telling, well, if we just got the ball back, you know, Tom Savage can go down and score and we can win this game. I told that fool you a lie. And don't ever call my damn phone again with that foolishness because we're not going to win a game with a sore-ass quarterback who has no ability to not stare down receivers. He threw that interception without ever looking left and to his right. And for Tom Savage to continue to get paid and for Bill O'Brien and the Texans to keep running him out there, I think that is a derelict against the duty of a head coach to allow that dude to ruin the game for the other 53 players that go out there and play their ass off like Clowney did last night. Tom Savage deserves to be benched, fellas, because if anybody else had turned the ball over 4 times, Bill O'Brien would have had his ass on the bench, and he would never see the field again. And it's a travesty that he continuously allowed this clown to take his sore ass out there and do what we all know he's going to do, which is lose football games. Hey, fellas, before I let y'all go, Dale, I'm glad you back too, dog. I know you didn't have a good taste of me over there on the nosebleed, but you and I are all right, dog. Just remember that in our holler.
And our holler.
I've been here the whole time. Larry?
Welcome back, Dale.
No, you just got back.
Welcome back.
No, I've been here for two plus years, just got back.
I can't. We all just none of us existed until yesterday.
Well, to be fair, you just were holding.
No.
Hey, buddy.
Lance, I heard Lance's goodbye 3 months ago. It was the Lance who changed radio. Okay, not only in the city of Houston, but in the world.
Marconi, please.
He changed what radio is.
The essence of
it. He certainly carried you for years.
Hey, I don't know how. Explain this, because I heard him call Tom Savage a piece of trash, right?
And a POS.
But then he called him a POS, but it's P-O-T.
Right.
Piece of trash is P-O-T. Why did he say P-O? What is P-O-S? Piece of...
He also called him a bastard, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say that.
He did,
but not like in a Jon Snow kind. He's not Tom Snow.
No,
he's not Tom Snow. He's more like Reek. Well, and Reek wasn't even a bastard.
Yes, he was.
Oh, was Reek a bastard?
No, Reek wasn't.
No, Reek was. I remember
Ramsey.
He was great. Greyjoy
was a bastard.
Yeah. Ramsey. No.
Ramsey.
You know who reminds me of Ramsey? Baker Mayfield.
Oh, he's got Ramsey in him. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
that's a compliment. You got some Ramsey edge to you? Yeah. I want a player with some Ramsey Bolton in his DNA.
Ooh. Ooh, I don't want no Rams. I don't want to be around. I don't want him in my locker room. I tell you that. I don't want Ramsey in my locker room.
I think Ramsey might play. Might play for the Broncos now. You see the way they were scrapping on the field? Yeah. That's some Ramsey Bolton stuff going on over there.
Ramsey Tlaib. all right, top of the hour. Nate's going to rejoin us here, but we also take your calls. Look at the board. Unbelievable. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.